We're going through this week the various discussions in the contemporary acronym about taking someone's picture against his will. As Neil pointed out, we have a fairly variegated and creative array of reasons. There isn't actually a whole lot of literature on this topic. As I noted a couple days ago, I've pretty much assigned just about everything I think that exists more or less on the topic. There really isn't that much. Obviously, you aren't going to find much in the earlier Poskim before the advent of photography. And even since then, there isn't a whole lot. Basically, just to summarize what the stuff that people have seen, there are three major tshuvas that people quote. There is Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, who, this is the style of many of his tshuvas. His correspondent presents a long and intricate analysis, and he answers back in one line. And he felt it was not an issue. His correspondent brought up various questions about Ruach Tumah. Ruach Tumah is something which I don't know anything about, but in general, the one point worth noting is that of the various Achronim who discuss it, apparently the early sources are not clear whether Ruach Tumah is a problem for the subject of the photograph or for the photographer or the photograph itself. So, if it's for the subject, then it makes sense that he can object that you shouldn't do it. If it's for the photographer, if he wants to risk it, that's his business. If it's for the picture, if he wants to have Ruach Tumah aura in his house when he hangs in the picture, that's his affair, but that's not so clear. But anyway, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld's correspondent had a couple of issues, but at the end of the day, Rabbi Yosef Chaim did not think it was a problem. He said it's not Tzchara Prasa Shel Chavero, it's his own camera, his own photography. He doesn't think that you're really using someone else's asset, and he thought that was no problem. His position is roughly followed by the Betzel HaChachma, that is Rabbi Tzal Stern, the brother of the Debrecener, Rabbi Moshe Stern. The Betzel HaChachma, his tshuva appears in the context of a series of tshuvas focusing primarily on classic intellectual property issues, copying books, and so on. And in the midst of that, he has this tshuva about taking pictures, and he says also that it is mutter. He suggests maybe it's not mutter, but at the end of the day, he comes out, kasha limchas, meikar adin. He doesn't think it's a problem. As opposed to them, we have Rav Menashe Klein, the Mishnah Halachas, the Ungvar Rav. He says that it is Usur. He has a number of reasons he feels it's Usur. And the other Rabbanim who discuss it pretty much presented as a machlokas between the Betzel HaChachma and Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld on the permissive side and Rabbi Menashe Klein as the machmer. It's actually very interesting. The connection between classic intellectual property, copyrights that we've been dealing with, and taking a picture of somebody is made both by the Betzel HaChachma as well as by Rav Menashe Klein. They go in exactly opposite directions. Rav Menashe Klein says, even copying a book is Usur. So certainly copying somebody's actual visage is certainly Usur. And Rav Betzel Stern goes in the other direction. He says, even copying someone's face is Mutter. So copying his book should certainly be Mutter. I mean, we know many poskim did feel it was a problem. So Howie was saying that many of the poskim who were machmer were really machmer, really the early poskim for sure, as we've been discussing, were really machmer more in the context of commercial affairs. That if I have a business, you shouldn't be infringing on my business, where most people's faces are not commercial endeavors unless you're a major celebrity. It's not an issue, but maybe that's what Rav Stern felt, that even the early poskim were mostly focused on commercial infringement, on Yared Lomnas, as we've seen. But in any event, they both make the same connection between copying a book and copying a book. They both think that copying a face should be more austere than copying a book. They just draw the opposite conclusions from that starting point. One other isser they discuss is nothing to do actually with Chashon Mishpah, nothing to do with copying someone's face without permission. Just want to spend a few minutes on it because it's an interesting topic that most people probably know is an issue but are not sure of the parameters. I myself am kind of shaky on the parameters. This is the isser of lo sasun iti. There is an isser daraisa, lav daraisa, against making images, the classic graven images, making images of a number of different types of things, but halakha lemaisa, for our practical purposes, there are two categories of things you're not allowed to make images of. One is celestial bodies, demush shamashai hamasham shel farim b'marum, stars, sun, planets, moon, and so on. The other is people, human beings. You're not allowed to make images of people. Lav daraisa. And we should clarify, there actually are two isurim. One is a lav daraisa, exeris akasiv. Some poskim said maybe we know the reason for it, we don't know the reason for it, but it's a lav daraisa. From the pasuk of lo sasuniti, lo sasa pesel, a lav. Another isur is an isur drabanan, which is a gzera chashad of maris ayin. If you have a little statue of somebody in your house, people will think you're worshiping idols. I saw a tshuva in the Shevet Halevi, Rav Osner. Someone asked him about dolls. That, as Beryl mentioned the other night, people have the custom to deface dolls, to knock things off, even shetel heads. So someone asked the Shevet Halevi, you have a doll. Do you have, he says, nobody worships Barbie. So the, he didn't say Barbie, but nobody worships these dolls. The question is, do you have to deface it? And the Shevet Halevi says, absolutely yes, because Norma says that, that even if people don't worship, they're still exeri, you have to, you cannot have a complete, you know, well-shaped humanoid, you know, human figure in your house. You have to deface it, he says. But I don't know exactly the prevailing custom, but there is such an issue. It's worth knowing there's such an issue. But so the question is, what do we do with this? This issue of making images of people, putting sun and the stars is even more complicated, putting aside celestial bodies, focusing on the issue of making images of people, what does this mean for photography, for drawing, for photography? What am I allowed to make pictures for art class, for to draw on the blackboard, for to play hangman? You know, am I allowed to make pictures of human beings? So there's a fair amount of literature on this. Some of it is quite entertaining. One of the first practical discussions of this is a Tosus in Yuma. Tosus says that, you know, one of the great legacies of medieval Europe is the illustrated book, the illustrated manuscript. So Tosus says there were people who made machzorim, and they illustrated the machzorim with pictures of animals and birds. Is this a good idea? Someone asked Tosus. Tosus says, no, it's not a good idea, because they distract you from davening. You don't focus on the words when you're too busy looking at the pretty pictures. Now, everything has to be taken in context. This is probably true in the medieval period, where books were rare as it is, and pictures were just a king commissioned illustrated books. And the ordinary, this was something. Today we have so many images, television and computers and smartphones and tons of books and magazines and newspapers. I don't know if a little, you know, demure little illustration on the side of your sitter is so distracting. Maybe it is, maybe it's not, but in any event, Tosus felt that having pictures on your machzor was distracting, so it's a bad idea. But putting aside good idea or bad idea, Tosus discusses, is it mutter, mikra din? Do you violate the lav d'oraisa of lo sasun l'chapesa, lo sasun iti? Tosus says, no, you do not. Tosus says, the reason is because the only issur he says is if the thing is at least somewhat three-dimensional, either raised or engraved, but it's palpable, it's palpably three-dimensional, even if it's not a sculpture, even if it's more or less like a coin or a flat thing, but it at least is raised. You can feel it, you can feel the raised image or an engraved image in concave or convex, you can feel the image. Masha'enkein, something which is flat, just using paint or just using pigments, no issur at all, so mikra din, it's mutter. There is actually a shita that even paints, if it's like an oil painting where you can actually feel texture, you can feel the paint raised above the canvas, it might be worse, but at least in the kind of pictures that we typically see, where you can't, even though molecularly there is a slightly raised molecular layer, I guess, although the paper itself is rough on a molecular level, but practically speaking, paper is not at all three-dimensional, and therefore Tosus has a heter. I actually saw one of the Sfarim brought, you know, 3D technology is a modern thing, but I actually saw a discussion of some kind of Benishchai, I think, of some kind of stereographic thing where you have some kind of slide, it's like a kaleidoscope, whatever it is, you stick it into a viewer and it fools the brain into thinking it's three-dimensional. The Benishchai says, no, that's not three-dimensional. It actually is not three-dimensional, even though the eye is tricked into seeing a three-dimensional image, that's called flat, and you have the heter of Tosus. The question is, do we pass it like this, Tosus? So one of the next major tshuvas on this, a very similar question, was the Lechem Rav, Rabbi Avraham Di Baton, better known certainly in the yeshiva world as the author of the Lechem Mishnah, but in halacha circles he was famous as the author of the Lechem Rav, his tshuva sefer. So he was writing about 400 years ago. He was asked about an illustrated ksuva. A few months ago, the Library of Congress had an exhibit of their Judaica, so I noticed they had a couple of illustrated ksuvas there. I think 19th century Persia, Iran, one or two other countries maybe.
In where?
The Library of Congress had a... So the question is, are you allowed to illustrate a ksuva? So this question was, and so the Lechem Rav says he was asked about a ksuva that was illustrated with little chas and kal on the side, and also I think animals, he said too. So are you allowed to write such a ksuva? So the Lechem Rav said, no, really you should not, because he says, even though Tosus says it's a heter, as long as it's completely flat, and as long as there's no three-dimensionality, he says Tosus is not necessarily correct. He says Tosus's proof is based on certain assumptions. Assumptions are not necessarily universally accepted, and therefore he says you should be machmer. It's a shaila, it's a daraisa. You really should be machmer. But the Avid, he said you don't have to destroy the ksuva, but he felt that you should not do such a ksuva. We move then, another famous tshuva is in Rav Yaakov Emden. He was asked, his initial shayla, which he was very machmer about, he was very upset about, there was a certain rav, Rabbi Elazar, someone, who became the rav of Brod, and apparently he was a highly esteemed fellow. So somebody, some enterprising fellow, struck a medallion of this rav's image. I think it was a head, like a head and bust, like a classic image, and struck a medallion with this person's likeness on it. So Rav Yaakov Emden was very upset. He felt this was a serious issue. He said, certainly it must not have been done with cooperation of the rav. He would never have done this. He was a great tzaddik and chassid. He would never have done such an issue. And he was very against it. But again, he was primarily against it, he said, because it was three-dimensional. It was a coin, kind of. And it was a, he says, and look what happened at the end. He says, the government got upset and confiscated all of them and made them get rid of them. I don't know if they thought it was counterfeit or they thought it was an insult to the government, but whatever it was, the government shut them down. Now, that's a terrible thing. You shouldn't do that. However, he says, another example, he says, of such an event, he said, occurred to his own father, the Chacham Tzvi. The Chacham Tzvi was once invited by the Sfardi Kehila in London to pay them a visit. They apparently revered him to the moon, and they treated him like a king. They had a royal procession. They honored him to great extent. And they wanted, he said, they wanted a memento of his, something to remember him by. They wanted to take his portrait. This is before they had photography. They wanted an artist to take his portrait. And he said no. And they begged him, and they nudged him, and he insisted, no, I'm not allowing it. And they did it anyway. You know, I guess this is where the celebrities come in. Sometimes your great, you know, affection or admiration for someone leads you to do things against that person's will just because you want the picture. They eventually did it against his will. So Rav Yaakov Emden says, I'm telling you this to show you in what great esteem they held my father. Just, you know, very, very proud of his father, he says. They loved him so much. However, he says, Mikra Din probably was not Asr, because he seems to take for granted that Tosis is correct, that anything that's strictly two-dimensional is fine, and it's not a problem. But the Chaim Tzvi, his father was Machmer. He was very frum, he was a chassid, very pious, and didn't want him to do it, even though he was Machmer. But Rav Emden seems to feel that Meikra Din, something which is strictly two-dimensional, is okay. With this background, these are some of the major tshuvas in the early poskim. We turn now to photography.
What happened to the doll? Is the doll okay or not okay?
Doll is more of a problem. I'm not focusing on that, but the doll is a serious issue. I'm not prepared to discuss halakha l'maisa on it, but again, I didn't really grow up using dolls. I probably had some action figures. My sisters had dolls, probably, but not something I ever really looked into enough, so I'm not comfortable getting into too much halakha l'maisa on that. We can discuss it later, maybe. But turning to photography, so around the turn of the 20th century is a very important shuur from the different Malkiel, or Malkiel Tenenbaum. He was asked by someone who needed a picture taken of himself for business purposes. I don't know if it was for a passport, for some kind of ID, just for, I don't know what it was, whatever it was, he needed a picture for business, and he was threatened with a significant loss if he wouldn't take a picture, and he was, I guess, enough of a Talmud Chacham that he knew it was a shaila. So we asked the different Malkiel, am I allowed to do this for business? Der Malkiel was very proud of him. He says, I'm so proud, so glad that you asked this question. Most people take for granted it's mutter, and they think everyone does it. Of course it's mutter. You're a Shemayim, you realize it's a Shaila, you're asking me this question. And his basic answer is that it's not mutter, that it's usser. He says, there is basis for leniency, the two-dimensional thing, the fact that it's not the full body, just try to take it behind a table where they don't see your feet, they just see part of your body. He has a theorem, and he says that if there's a significant business loss, if you really need it, you know, I can be makel for you, he says. But l'chatchila, you really shouldn't be doing it, and people just go around doing it, it's a bad idea. The end of the tshuva, he waxes philosophical. He says, you know, what is it with the body, he says? A person's, well, what is your humanity? He says, it's the ma'asim tovim you do, it's the midas you do. He says, animals have bodies. And he says, animal pictures look even better than human pictures. You want to have a nice picture of you on your mantle? Take a picture of a nice deer or something. And he says, what's so special about the body? He says, what makes a human, what makes them worth remembering, he says, is what he does. So if you want to be remembered, do something worth remembering. But in any event, the bulk of the tshuva is about the technical isser. And even though it's two-dimensional, he feels that you have to be machmer for the shittas that say that even two-dimensional is a problem. Later poskim, in our generation, the Shevet Halevi, the Menachas Yitzchak, and others also debate the question of photography. They have other reasons for being makel. One of the main reasons is they try to argue that, A, it's a sort of grumma. You're not actually drawing a picture on the film, you're releasing it, pushing a button, which releases a shutter, which allows light in, and that's only a negative, they say. The negative is not really the picture. The negative is reverse of the picture, and then it goes on to the film. You know, the post can go back and forth on these svaras. Not really so easy to understand why this is such a good reason to be makel. Most posts can agree that if you operate a machine and the machine directly produces an effect, for example, a firearm, the fact that you pull a trigger which releases a hammer, which triggers an explosion, which propels a projectile, posts can typically assume that's not a grama, that's your action. You did it. If you take a drill and you drill something, the fact that you're pulling a switch, which turns a motor, which has gears, you know, that's your action. It's your direct thing. It's a machine that has a clear and predictable outcome, and that's you. So the fact that the camera works with a bunch of mechanical or electronic switches and triggers and things, I don't know why, not sure that's really grama, but you know, some person can say maybe it's grama. Michas Yitzchak discusses if you project video on a wall, on a screen, it's ephemeral, it's only as long as the projector is on. Is that considered, it's not Miskayim, and Shabbos that wouldn't be called drawing because it has no durability. Mishnah Lach, the Michas Yitzchak says no, even though it's ephemeral and goes away as soon as you turn it off, he says this Isser of making pictures applies even in such a case. And the few poskim I saw, the Michas Yitzchak, the Shevet Alevi, others, not at all clear that there's a strong consensus that pictures is mutter. The minna clearly is that it is, and Rav Sternbach, Moshe Sternbach and Shuas van Hager says that even though, you know, Pida Sugyas, there is basis to be Machmer, he says the minna clearly is that people are Mekel. There were always some Yidolim and Chasidim who were very Machmer and not having their pictures taken. But even that, he says, it wasn't clear how much of that was Nigla because they held it was Usser and how much was because of the Kabbalistic concerns or Musardic concerns. In any event, the Minhag, I think, in Divrei Malkiel's time, they also had a Minhag, and he just felt that the Minhag was wrong, and that the Minhag should be, that's a very important philosophical question in Halacha in general. When you have a Minhag that seems wrong, when do you say it's wrong and you have to be better, and when do you say, you know, look, the Minhag is to be Mekel, and there are Rashitas like that. But Divrei Malkiel, the Maisa held it was Usser, other posts come on, not sure, and the Minhag clearly is that it's Mutter.